Turn with me to Hebrews 11, the scripture Brother Ronnie read for us. You know, the world has what they call their Hall of Fame. Baseball has a Hall of Fame. I think Pete Rose would give everything in this world to be in the Hall of Fame. I hope he makes it for his sake. I surely do. Because that's the goal and the end of his very existence, is to be in the Hall of Fame. And I've watched those fellas when they give their speeches, when they're nominated to the Hall of Fame. It's like, this is it. This is the end of living, be in the Hall of Fame. But we just read about the Hall of Faith. That's the one. That's what I'm interested in, the Hall of Faith. We read the names of many of these great believers. The Lord said they saw the promise of Christ afar off. They saw it. They saw him by faith, that promise, that ever eternal covenant. And it said they not only saw the promise of Christ afar off, but they were persuaded of the promises. Confident. I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And then it says they embraced them. They not only saw this promise of God's grace and mercy in Christ, but they were persuaded of the certainty of them, and they literally embraced them with heart, mind, and soul. And then they declared plainly that they desire a better country. Look at verse 16 there. Now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country. Wherefore, and listen to this, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Talking about all those old-time believers, people of God, prophets of God. And then in verse 38, the Lord says this about these people. Verse 38, in the parenthesis, of whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. And then in verse 39, he said, and these all of these believers, they obtained a good report. What does that mean? They obtained divine approval. Abraham offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a good report, by which he obtained divine approval, whereby God called all of these people by the same name he called Abraham, my friend. Abraham, the scripture says, called God my friend. Abraham, my friend, of whom the world was not worthy. But they obtained a good report. They had Christ in promise, but we obtain a better report. Look at that next line. In verse 39 says, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't see it in its fulfillment. But God, having provided something better for us, a better thing for us. What is this better thing for us? Well, they had Christ in promise. We have him in person. They had Christ in type. We have Christ incarnate. They were redeemed by looking to Christ who should come. We are saved by Christ who has come. That's a better report. Yes, they obtained a good report, but we have provided for us a better report. But, look at that last line, that they without us should not be made perfect. Not without us. They'll be perfected, and so shall we. They'll be in his likeness and image, and so shall we. And David said, I'll be satisfied when I wait with his likeness. Turn to Hebrews 7 for a moment. We talk about this God provided a better thing for us. They have a good report. They have a divine approval. But we have that special revelation. You and I do. Look at Hebrews 7, verse 19. Would you look at that with me? It says in Hebrews 7, verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect. The giving of the law and the rituals of the law and the traditions of the law. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. And then look down at chapter 9, verse 23. Chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these types and shadows and pictures. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. What is the better sacrifice? Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands as the Old Testament priest did, as Aaron did, as all the priests did, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Oh, my. My, my. God having provided a better thing for us, the fulfillment of the promise, the fulfillment of Christ's person and work. All right, chapter 12. Here's where we're going to start. Now listen. Chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Great, that's the word. I want to look just word at a time. Great cloud of witnesses. Someone said one time, never think of the kingdom of God in small numbers. Never. Let me show you that over here in the verse we were reading a while ago in chapter 11. Ronnie read this. Look, if you will, at verses 10, 11, and 12. Listen to this. Don't think of the kingdom of God in small numbers. The Bible talks about a multitude which no man could number. Isn't that what it says? A multitude which no man could number. In Hebrews 11, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself conceived, received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. We're talking about Abraham now. As many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sands which are the seashore innumerable. Are we talking about all of the natural descendants of Abraham? No, sir. We're talking about the spiritual descendants of Abraham. They sprang from one, our father Abraham, and him good as dead, a multitude, as the sands of the seashore, and as the stars of the sky in number. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Let me show you this again. Never think of the kingdom of God in small numbers. In Romans chapter 4. I just looked at that a little while ago. Romans 4. Listen to this. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Not, my friends, not just the Jewish nation or the Israelite natural nation, a father of many nations, Gentiles, every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven. is blessed through Abraham. If the sons of Abraham, the sons of God. That's what he says. I made you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, and being believed in hope, that he might be the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That's, we're talking about so great a cloud. We're not talking about one here and one there. Great a cloud of witnesses. Let me show you one other scripture. Turn with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. Listen to this. Revelation 7. And verse 10. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, listen, amen, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, power, honor, might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered and said, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? He said, I'll tell you who they are. Sir, you know. These are they that came out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Who are they? Go back to verse 9. And after this I beheld, John said, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which nobody can number. Who is it? It's all these that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's who this is. A great multitude. I saw a great cloud of witnesses. A number which no man could number. Made up of whom? All nations, all kindreds, all peoples, all tongues. They stood before the Lamb, before the throne, and before the Lamb. All of them. Clothed with white robes with palms in their hands. So never think about my Lord's kingdom. Well, somebody said it's a handful, but whose hand we're talking about? There in his hand. That's all right, let's move on. I'll never get through this. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud. Cloud? Great multitude cloud? What are we talking about, cloud? They're above us. They're not down here. They're not among us here. They're in a cloud. They're above us. Our Lord Jesus was received up into the clouds. They're God's people who are in heaven. That's who we're talking about here. A greater cloud of witnesses. And he names them. Abel, by faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Enoch walked with God. He was not because God took him. Noah moved with fear and built an ark. Abraham, by faith, went out, not knowing where. Sarah, by faith, was conceived and brought forth a son. And Moses, by faith, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And many others, that's what it says here, and many others. A cloud, great cloud. All right, look at the next word. And so we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, who are we talking about here? We're talking about glorified believers of all generations who are in glory, who made their robes white, washed them in the blood of the Lamb, and in the presence of God. What are their witnesses of? Are they looking down here watching what we're doing? Are they looking down on our persons and our activities and our works? No, sir. They're witnesses of God. They're God's witnesses. It's like Abel, when they wrote about Abel, says, he's dead, and yet he yet speaks. What does he speak of? He speaks of the faithfulness of God. That's what he speaks of. A witness is one who has seen and heard and experienced a glorious fact, and desires to tell it and to make it known. And these heavenly witnesses are witnesses of the faithfulness of our God throughout the ages. They're witnesses of the fullness of His love. They're witnesses of the sufficiency of His precious blood. And they're witnesses of the certain victory that comes to those who believe on the Son of God. Thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, that's who we're talking about here. Talking about these Old Testament believers. Great cloud above us. Witnesses. They're not witnessing what's going on here. They're not interested in what's going on here. They're witnesses of His faithfulness and His love and His grace and His mercy. All right, that being so, verse 1, chapter 12. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us. Now then, see if I can make good on this. Folks who are dedicated to running a race, and who mean business, and who mean to win, and to accomplish what they set out to do, if they're running a race, they don't put on rubber boots, and they don't put on an overcoat, a top coat, and a hat, and they don't wear a backpack. They get rid of everything that will hinder them running a good race, running a swift race, running a victorious race, running a race where the victor is crowned. So he says, therefore, seeing that we're compassed about with such a great multitude of people, a great cloud of witnesses who are witnesses to us, he being dead speaks. What's he speak about? He's not going to find out whether you bought a new car this day. He's talking about the glory of God, the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the victory which we have in Christ Jesus. So let us, if we're serious, if we're dead serious about this race set before us, he didn't say, see if somebody strip me of these things. You do it. You lay it aside. You do it yourself. You lay it aside. God gives you the grace to do it. God gives you the will to do it. God gives you the inspiration to do it. But you've got to lay it aside. Lay what aside? I'm telling you what. These things are weights. What does this weight do? It brings you down. Every weight, every hindrance, every association, every companion. People, they can get in your way running a race. They get in your way, they get you sidetracked. So let's lay aside. You do it. You lay it aside. Lay aside every weight, every hindrance, every association, every companion, every interest, every work which interferes your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lay aside everything which hinders your walk, your spiritual life, your fellowship with God. Just like a runner, I'm dedicated not to a corruptible crown, but to an incorruptible crown. I'm dedicated to finding Christ and being found in Him. Then I'm going to lay aside these things which hinder me from doing that very thing. Lay aside. Let us lay aside all these things that drag you down. Drag you down. Whatever they are. And then he says, and let us lay aside these sins which doth so easily beset us. You know, I've read people writing about this, and they say, well, everybody has his pet sin. Everybody has his special weakness. Everybody has his special trial. But that's not what he's talking about here. That's not. That's what we're talking about in the first part of this verse. Lay aside these weights. Get rid of them for the glory of God, for your good race. But let's lay aside the sin, which so easily doth beset us, the sin. That is the sin of everybody, the sin. What is it? It's unbelief. That's exactly what it is. It's unbelief. That's right. It's a problem every one of us had. This preacher, these elders, these teachers, these old folks, these young folks. Scripture says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's my biggest problem, is not believing God. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Can you? Won't you do it? Well, believe him and you will. Believe him and you will. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Take heed, brethren, if there be found in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Walk in your own way. Believe him. Now, I'll tell you why I believe that the great sin which doth so easily beset us and trouble us is unbelief. I'll tell you why. Four reasons. Number one, Ronnie, what's chapter 11 all about? Faith. You read that, and I believe you read that word faith 24 times in that 40 verses. What's this chapter all about? Faith. Faith. That's the sin that doth so easily beset us. That's what he's writing about in chapter 11. Or secondly, what is the one mark? The one mark of all these people who reach glory. What's the one mark? They believe. By faith, Abel believed. By faith, Abraham went out. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, built an ark. By faith, Sarah received grace. That's the one mark of everybody in this chapter, but faith. What was the one thing that brought them victory? Was it their working, laboring, striving? No, they believed God. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. That's what it said. He believed God. And fourthly, what's the one thing that kept the rest of them out? They could not enter in because of unbelief. So, let's lay aside every weight, the things that cling to us and drag us down and turn us around and slow us down, and cause, lay it aside. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. If Pete Rose would give all that to be in the Hall of Fame, what would I give to be in the Hall of Fame? What would I give? And let's be sure to work on this. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. All things are possible to them who believe. And watch this right here. This, and let us run with patience. Run with dedication. Let's run with commitment. Let's run with all we have. Let us run with patience. Patience. Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The race is set before me. What are you going to do with that, preacher? Let us run with patience the race set before us. Well, number one, it's my race. That's right, this is my race. Paul called it his stewardship. He called it his ministry. It's the Lord's ministry. It's your ministry. But in special sense, it's my race. Its race is set before. Let me show you that in Acts chapter 20. It's my race. That's exactly right. We're individual. We're not saved as a group. We're saved as individuals. God deals with each of us in his own way through Christ Jesus and gives us grace. And that's the second thing about this course. He gave it to me. He set it before me. Wasn't an accident either, no purpose. Even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might get glory. My name might be declared. That's why I raised you up, every person. Now watch this, Acts 20, Paul talking about his course. Acts 20, verse 24. Paul's getting ready to be martyred a few months. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course, my race, with joy, and my ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Is there any doubt at all about the fact it's your race, it's your course that he set before you, it's your trial? That's right. I'm going to lay aside these weights and sin of unbelief and run with patience and dedication, commitment, long-suffering, waiting on God, the race that God set before me. Set before me. Do it with patience and faithfulness. Is the race hard? Yes. That's right. Every child of God has temptations and tribulations and trials. If you be without trial, you're not the sons of God. Is it hard? But he said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Is it? Is it really? Of course it is. You know it and I know it. Is the race lonely? Lots of times it's very lonely. But he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Can't do it by yourself. I'll never leave you, and I'll never. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the. Cast all your cares on me. I'm caring for you. That's real now. Is the race mysterious? God moves in mysterious ways. I don't understand. I just wish that. Is the will of God so hard to find? It's not easy, is it? I haven't found it to be so. It's there. But sometimes I have to look under all places, and then there it is. I wasn't even looking where it was. There it was. He walked in. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with blessings, and they will break with mercy on your head. Yeah, it's hard, it's lonely, it's mysterious. And does this race bring tears and heartache, disappointment, misunderstanding? Yes, sir. But we know all these things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And I tell you this, if you look at Hebrews 10, I'm going to give you the scripture here. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Now, listen, Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you've heard, you have need of patience. Run the race with patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he'll come. He that shall come will come, and he won't tarry. He's coming, but now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But thank God, we're not of them that draw back. We're not of them that quit the race. We're not of them that throw in the towel. We're not of them that draw back unto perdition. We're of them that believe to the saving of our soul. That's just it. And then here's a closing with this next verse. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. What does it mean to look to Jesus? Looking unto Jesus. Well, we don't look to Christ with natural eyes. We look to Christ with an eye of faith. Our faith. And we see him. We do see him as in being invisible. But we see him. We see him how? In the promises of the Word. I saw him this morning in that, behold, the Lamb of God. I saw him. I just, and you did too. We went through that together, didn't we? We saw him. We saw him in the promises of the Word. We saw him in the flesh, the God-man. We see him living and dying as our substitute. We see him risen as our justifier. We see him in glory as our mediator. We see him. We see him. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. I found an outline on this verse right here that was a blessing to me. It's talking about looking to Christ. In the Word, our Redeemer. And then it told us down here in verse 3, considering. Set your heart on it. Here's the outline that I got from this fellow. Looking to Christ, that's the whole of faith. That's the whole of faith. You can read a dozen books on faith, but if you ever lay hold of three words, that's all you need to know. Looking unto Jesus. That's what faith is, looking. Looking to Christ. Secondly, this is the whole acceptance, the whole of our acceptance with God. Looking to Christ. While the Scripture says, this is the record. God hath given us eternal life. This life's in his Son. And he that hath the Son of God hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's the whole of acceptance with God. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Then thirdly, this is the whole of spiritual life. That's what spiritual life is, looking to Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. That's the whole of spiritual. That's the whole of faith. That's the whole of acceptance with God. That's the whole of spiritual life. And that's the whole of hope of heaven. You want the truth? Here it is. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Not Christ in a doctrine. Christ in you. It's not Christ in a ritual. It's Christ in you. It's Christ loved and received and looked to by faith. I read this to Doris this afternoon before coming to church. It's a tenfold exhortation to look to Christ. And it's very brief. Won't take me 5 minutes to read. I want you to listen to it. It's written by a Frenchman. His name is Adolf somebody. It starts with an M, but I can't pronounce the other part of it. But it is so good. Looking to Jesus. Looking to you. Here it is. Faith is looking to Christ. Not to how much faith I have, because it's not faith that saves me. It's looking to Christ. It's Christ that saves me. Looking to Christ. Faith is looking to Christ and not to my prayers. Not to my worship, not to my meditation, not to my devotions. It's looking to Christ. Faith is looking to Christ, not to the name I wear, not to the doctrines I hold. Faith is not what I'm looking to is whom. I know whom I have believed. That's what looking, that's what faith is. Faith is looking to Christ, not to the law. The law wounds, but it never heals. The law kills, but it never gives life. The law disturbs, but the law can never give peace. But Christ can. Looking to Christ. Fifth, faith is looking to Christ, not to his mother, not to his apostle, not to his preachers, not even to his cross. It's looking to him. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. Six, faith is looking to Christ and not to my brethren, either the best of them or the worst of them. There's no confidence in my flesh or your flesh. It's confidence in Christ. Looking to Christ. Seven, faith is looking to Christ, not to my strength, not to my weakness. In fact, all grace and all strength and all things are by his grace. But when I'm weak, really, that's when I'm strong. So just look to him. Forget the strength. And eight, faith is looking to Christ, not to my works. For without him, our works are filthy rags. So I look to Christ. Nine, faith is looking to Christ yesterday, today, and tomorrow, if he gives me a tomorrow. But I'm going to look to him. And last, faith is looking to Christ at all times, and we never stop coming to him. We never stop looking to him. We never stop resting in him. We never stop trusting. We never stop believing. We never stop depending. We never stop leaning. We just come to Christ. And when the clouds of death around me roll, when the angels come for my soul, no need for you to remind me of this grace, because then I'll be looking at him face to face. That ends the sermon. That'll do it. All right. Let's sing a hymn.